Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. Major roads are running smoothly, but be aware of construction on I-135 in both directions at K-96. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. Mostly cloudy and continued cool today. High 66. Northeast wind 5 to 15. Becoming cloudy and 47 tonight. Gray skies on Thursday. Cool again. High 65. We'll see a few showers during the afternoon. Nothing heavy nor severe. Clouds will slowly move out on Friday. High of 64. We're back in the 70s and 80s this weekend. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Basically, get out of the way.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
But Diego Pavia has a personality, but he does not have a personality that I want as my backup quarterback. I don't think he's good enough to be a starter in the NFL. You know, he's not Doug Flutie. Like, Doug Flutie was 5'9", Heisman Trophy winner, but he was the ideal personality to be a backup quarterback and ready to come in when need be. In fact, Flutie was ahead of his time. Flutie would be able to play and play at a pretty high level. But Diego Pavia, the personality, that's who you are. You're selling that personality. But I'm not buying that. Teams are not buying that. Teams didn't buy Shedeur Sanders. And teams were like, you're not a can't-miss prospect.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Wherever you go, you can take us along. Listen to our live stream and never miss a thing. Listen at the gym. Listen on an airplane. Listen during your daughter's wedding. You never liked the groom anyway. Wherever you go, take us along. Listen to our live stream on the free iHeartRadio app.
You got to listen to Jim Rome afternoons on KFH.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Long Offer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bed weed control since 1966. Long Offer Lawn and Tree Care. Glad to be back with you here on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We're just going to power right through this chilly weather here this morning and yesterday morning. A little bit of a slap in the face in the morning if you go out. Maybe take the dog out in the morning before you head into work. A little chilly out there.
It is.
Glad to have you here with us, though. Big story yesterday. It seemed inevitable, maybe not quite this quickly, though. Next year, both the men's and women's NCAA tournaments expected to expand to 76 teams. That's according to everybody is reporting this. Formal announcement expected in May. They have to go through all the committees and officially do all that kind of stuff, but it sure sounds like it's a done deal. This has been discussed for a long, long time. We know the conference commissioners have pushed for this. I think, you know, the NCAA president has championed this for what you were talking about a little bit, Paul. More access. You know, we'll get into the details of how this will look, but we can all talk about you. I don't think you're wrong, Paul. It will provide more access. And for that, I don't ever have a problem with that.
Thank
That's
you.
Not the reason. That's Good. Not the reason we're doing this. We're not doing that for that. We're not doing this for that reason. We're doing this because it will make more money. And let me say this. It's reasonable to do something because it makes more money, especially now when players are getting paid, schools are being, you know, asked to provide more resources than they ever have before. If here is this mechanism to generate more money to to help do some of those things, then any business in the world would explore the ideas of doing that. Now, I know that the NCAA is not technically considered a business, but if you don't think college athletics is a business, I've got some oceanfront property out in the desert that you should take a look at.
Right.
It is. Of course it's about business. Of course it's about the money. Of course it's all of those things. The danger when you do any of this is, does it take away from the product? The reason the NCAA tournament is so successful is because people consume the product. Mm-hmm. We love the product. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people angry that this is happening. They think it's going to ruin this. I totally understand that. But I go back to what we talked about with college football playoff expansion. Really, any expansion talk we have, you have to sit back and think, has expansion ever negatively impacted that for me? Now, I would say that the NBA has too much playoffs. Do I think that that means the fans of those teams are not consuming those games? No, we're about to see an 8-1 in the NBA playoffs. NFL expanded playoffs, nobody's griping about that. I mean, nobody. I've never heard anybody say, oh, right, man, I wish they wouldn't have expanded those NFL playoffs. Major League Baseball had probably the closest thing to what we're experiencing now, because baseball people are the most stubborn, the stubbornest. And there was baseball, you know, back in your day, Paul, what'd you take? Two teams from each league?
That's right. Something like that. That's right. I mean, it took a while to get expanded to where it is.
Then you expand it to four teams, right? The division winners and a wild card. And, you know, that's not enough. That's not enough for me to invest 160 games in for the chance to make four playoff spots. Like, I always hated that as a kid. The team I watched made the playoffs, I think, three times in my entire life for the first 25 years of my life.
Oh, jeez.
Like, this, why am I investing so much time and energy in this? So then they expand, and then they expand again, and I feel really good about where baseball is now. And I think most fans do, too, with the added wild card. It's made the game better. It's made the regular season better. It's made it all better. The NFL, again, they expand. It's made it better. And so you get into this college football playoff. Now, this one, I think, Paul, people will push back on a little bit. I think 12 has been good. I think it's far from perfect. I think 4 was monstrously better than 2. And I think 12 has been significantly better than 4. And we're probably going to, or sorry, 8 has been better than 4.
Yeah, okay.
Going to 12, maybe 16. But I think the 8-team playoff has been great. And some people may think it's been too much. I think there are bigger issues than 8 teams, and I think 12 or 16 will be fine. Mm-hmm. But 76 teams doesn't just roll off the tongue. That's a lot. I saw somebody put out a stat yesterday. What was it? Whatever, they put it sort of in percentages. I think 8% in a 16-team playoff of college football teams would make it. 21% of teams in a 76-team field would make it.
Right.
But I would go back to what I've said all along about this, Paul. As long as you don't mess anything when it gets to 64, as long as when Thursday rolls around, 64 looks like 64 has always looked, and you've got games all day Thursday, Friday, as long as that stays in place, I don't think anybody will really lose an enjoyment factor from the tournament. I think, you know, you get to the place if you because what we've done with the play-in games is, yeah, okay, I don't really care. They're play-in games. They're fun if your team is involved. The Shockers have been involved in those games. And, you know, it's exciting to have them in there. And maybe they don't make the tournament. So, sure, you like that they got in and had the chance. I don't think, as we shift to 76, if you're watching a team and they make it into that portion of the tournament because they had an okay year, maybe they got hot late and didn't have a good start or whatever it is, I don't think anybody's going to be sitting there on that Tuesday or Wednesday and being like, man, I really wish they weren't playing in this game. Mm-hmm. I really wish they were playing in the NIT right now. That's not going to happen. Those fans are going to be excited to watch those games. most fans aren't going to watch those games, right? They'll just be like, whatever, the tournament starts Thursday at 64.
I don't know.
I mean, Paul, they'll be good enough games. Some people will watch them. What I'm saying is you might watch them the same. You might watch a conference tournament game of another conference that you don't follow, mm-hmm. right? You might watch it because it's a good game.
Right.
But my point is the majesty of 64 starting Thursday, I don't think will change all that much, because the way I read this, and again, we'll get into the details in just a second, 64 still starts on the Thursday. And at that point, nothing changes.
That's right. Nothing's going
to
change.
Everything that's going to change happens before any of us really feel like the tournament starts anyway. We all feel like they have play-in games the first round. They can call this whatever they want to call this. But for America, the tournament starts Thursday at 64 teams.
Well,
no
maybe
what
if
you do before,
maybe a few more teams will change when America says, "Hey, the tournament has started." How
Could
about
be.
That? And listen, what Could are we be. Talking about? I heard one guy say, "This is all about the last four in, the last four in, they're in, the last four out, they're in, the last eight out, they're in." So that's what basically what we're talking about. And
you're,
the more
that what you're talking about, Paul, is 68 teams. Go into 76, eight more teams, four more playing games.
That's right. And what's the? And here's the thing. It's not going to change the timetable. Everything I've looked at, I don't believe the timetable changes. So maybe a few more extra games, that will bring attention to the tournament. Have you ever thought of that? Maybe more people are going to say, wow, look at some of these games. Some of these are look like they're very interesting games. And it's really hard to make a case on with those eight teams that somehow they don't belong. Boy, if they don't belong, it's an eyelash that they don't belong. But they do belong. Many of them do belong. And just by fate or by luck or maybe happenstance on an injury here or there, their cause and effect would be that maybe they're not playing as well down the stretch. But that doesn't mean you don't play well going into the tournament. And here's all it's going to take, Jacob. For this thing to be accepted and looked at and says, yes, this is worthwhile, all we got to do is get one of those play-in teams at some point to beat a number one. That's all we got to do. Once we get that, which we have not had yet, because it's rare that a 16 beats a one, whether it's a playoff, and it's never happened with a play-in team. But I'm just saying that once we get to that point, it'll even be more on structure with, yeah, that makes sense. 76, that makes sense. What's it cost you? Jacob, what's it cost you? What's it cost you? Cost you nothing, because you're going to play those games basically right around the same time. It's not going to cost anything. And by the way, let me just add, in the NBA, you brought it up, so I might as well reiterate, what you've got right now is you've got an 8 seed, which was a play-in team about ready to win its first round against the number one seed. So, you know, this stuff is magical. This stuff happens. Different teams play well at different parts of the year. You never know who's going to step up. I think this is a really good plus. And I think it's kind of important in making that first round seem more important. More games, more important, more upsets. Maybe that's not all bad. And that gives teams that never have a chance to get in, just because of who they are, just because of what league they're in, just because of who they've played all year, it gives them a chance to make the big dance. And like I say, I don't have a problem with more enjoying this tournament. It'll be a lifetime of memories for a lot of kids and a lot of schools. Man, I don't see the doubt. I have yet to figure out what the downside is on this whole thing, Jacob.
Yeah, look, the downside is it potentially waters down the field, but
no.
We're already at 68 teams.
Well,
the teams that would have been in, here's, you know, just a CBS Sports did a hypothetical, and I don't know if they just took net rankings or what, but here are the extra teams that would have been in: Oklahoma, Auburn, San Diego State, Indiana, New Mexico, Seton Hall, Virginia Tech, Stanford. Now, there is some concern, and I think this is a valid concern, that this would end up just going to all the major conferences. They would just get to add more teams. In that hypothetical, You would have had San Diego State, New Mexico, and Seton Hall. So three of the additional eight teams would have been from non-power fours. Okay, three out of eight. I think that, you know, a lot of times that may happen, and I think sometimes it may not. I do think, generally speaking, in the NCAA tournament, we just kind of go back to resume. Like, there, it's not like college football, you know, where the power conferences can and should dominate the field. We know college basketball is not that way. There are a lot of years where there are really good mid-major teams. I kind of look at it as, and it wouldn't have happened this year, but to me, this opens the door a little bit for leagues like the American Paul to perhaps not be one bid leagues. You know, those good kinds of leagues that are, you know, what would you call a high major now? I think it opens the door a little bit more for those leagues. It's not opening the door for the Horizon League. Like, that's not where it's at. So, yeah, I do think the majority of the teams will come from power conferences, but it can't be all of them. If this is going to work, it has to open the door up for the high majors that are really good that maybe got bounced in their conference tournaments. Like, I think that is a potential positive that could come from this. You get more of those high quality, good teams that played in a weak league that didn't get a chance to get in because they maybe stumbled in their conference tournament. South Florida would have been an example of that. Let's say South Florida got bounced in the American Athletic Conference tournament. That ended up being a really good team. I think this would open up the door for them to get in. Wichita State would have fit the mold a little bit. Tulsa a little bit more last year. Of teams where you're like, man, those are pretty good teams. Be cool if they had a shot to go play. I assume those would be teams that would slot into this first 12. Now, CBS Sports does explain this, and I have had trouble with this. I need to see a bracket. I need to see a bracket because I cannot visualize yet how this looks on paper. And again, what I need for this to be a non-issue when push comes to shove, Paul, is on a piece of paper or when I'm looking at a bracket on a screen and I'm Joe Lunchbox and I just want to fill out a bracket and I just want to have fun with it that way, I need that on Thursday to be a 64-team bracket that's 16 versus 1 and looks like it's looked forever, for a long time. We got to get it to that point. Now, this is where I get confused. CBS Sports, in its telling of this, says that it will look different. Here's exactly what they say. The move will create eight additional at-large bids, all of them to worse teams per the cutline standard than those that have qualified for every previous NCAA tournament. Sources tell them that the NCAA will be adopting an expanded model for its opening round games that matches what it had been doing with the first four. The move to 76 means 52 teams auto slot into the main bracket with the first round starting Thursday and Friday. The 24 leftover teams would fill up 12 game slots for that Tuesday and Wednesday immediately following Selection Sunday. So it's saying that this is going to look different, but I still read that the same way. I don't care how many teams auto slot. Okay, so 52 teams auto slot in. 24 remaining teams, divide that by four regions, right? Six. You'll have, you know, six per region. So 12 games, right? Divided by four. Three games per region, in, to me, just become basically play-in games to make it in.
Okay. And the problem with that is what?
So in one region, your 16, your 15, and your 11 maybe are made up of teams that had to play a play-in game. But again, if that's all that means, and then on Thursday, it looks the same as it always has, I really don't think this will impact most of America.
Is that not what we've been talking about? Because you got me a little confused.
Different ways you can think of this entry tournament. Just like if this is, and I get it because I don't think this is necessary. Let me just say, I don't know. I don't think expansion was necessary. I don't even think I like it. In fact, I don't like it, but I understand it. And I don't think it's as big a deal as we want to, like, as will be the popular internet opinion of college basketball is ruined. I don't think it's going to matter to most of us, Paul, because 64 should, if they don't, now if they screw that up, then we're having a different conversation. But I'm pretty sure 64 is going to look like 64 has always looked. How many people do you think even know it's a, or care that it's a 68-team tournament, not a 64-team tournament?
Well, I think a lot. That's what I think. I think a lot of you.
Well, right? Well, we're going to continue this into the next hour. It's a big topic. It's a big story. We want to hear from you, by the way.
It's an important story.
Let us know what you think on the video streams. And the take can't just be, well, they're doing it for the money. We know they're doing it for the money. Of course they're doing it for the money. Everybody in the world knows they're doing it for the money. That's stating the obvious. But what do you think? What are the reasons you think this will fail or succeed? Let us know. We're coming back on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.